What's happening, everybody? It is your boy Earth Mac, the Mad Scientist, and this is Pro Wrestling Talk Live on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, where we talk about all things pro wrestling on Tuesday and Tuesday only. AEW Revolution was this past Sunday, and we got to learn, got to witness the retirement, the fitting retirement of the man they call Sting. Now, before we jump into the show to go further into it, do not forget to hit that like and subscribe button and leave some comments there, because the more likes we get, the more volume that we get, the more content that we can create for you guys. Remember, we only have shows Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night, all at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, all for your geekdom goodness. The Icon Sting. What can I say about the Icon Sting that has not been said? Like, for starters, no one has anything bad to say about this man. And he is, by all intents and purposes, is my favorite wrestler of all time. He was the sole reason, and he is the sole reason why I got into professional wrestling in the first place, how I became a fan of professional wrestling, and his historic run in professional wrestling in NWA and UWF and WCW and TNA, his short stint in WWE and now AEW. And let's not forget All Japan Pro Wrestling, because people tend to forget that Sting had a brief stint with All Japan Pro Wrestling, where he wrestled Spivey and he wrestled the great Muda. And him and Muda tagged against the Steiner brothers. Man, we talking about a historic career. We talking about a man's man. And honestly, in a cutthroat business that is professional wrestling, that is hard to come by when it comes to a professional wrestler, because somebody got something bad about something, got something to say bad about somebody. Like, but Sting, you can't find nothing bad about this man. And according to Mark Scott, great wrestler and even greater man. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. This man has been truthful with himself. He talked about his journey and how, you know, he was dealing with some issues, some personal issues, and how he got out of that darkness and, you know, became born again Christian, and, you know, his life changed for the better, and it led to him retiring at 64 years old. This man has been jumping off balconies ever since he joined AEW, and people used to say, oh man, he's too old. Nah, you ain't never too old. If you are willing and able-bodied enough to do the work that he's done at 64 years old, then why not? Why not? And I'm going to go through a couple of accolades of the man they call Sting. And me, I was born in 1985. So I was introduced to Sting in the NWA WCW days. Born in South Carolina. So technically speaking, in the South, we learn more about NWA and WCW versus WWF at the point in time. Now, yes, WWF was on TV, but it was more WCW, NWA content that was for us to digest. We had WCW Saturday Night, WCW Main Event, World Championship Wrestling, and then you had Clash of Champions that sometimes come on network television. Really, really good stuff. Now, with Sting, he was originally tagged with the Ultimate Warrior. A lot of people don't remember that. They were called the Blade Runners. And honestly, that was a short stint, but he was with the Ultimate Warrior before the Ultimate Warrior went his separate way and went to WWF, and Sting went off to NWA. And to go into it, his association with JCP and his successor of WCW began in 1985, which saw him win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship for the first time in 1990. He rose to main event status and is described as WCW counterpart to WWF's Hulk Hogan, dubbed the franchise of WCW. Side note, fuck Hulk Hogan. That just, we're going to get that out there right now. We're gonna, just going to get that out there. But he dubbed the franchise of WCW, and he held 15 championships in the promotion, including 6 reigns with the WCW World Heavyweight Championship and 2 reigns with the WCW International World Heavyweight Championship. Now, those of you that don't know what the International World Heavyweight Championship is, it is the big gold belt. It was once called that. And that was the WCW World Heavyweight Championship, which that belt has been held by Ron Simmons when he beat Vader. That's the belt that he held. So it's like a smaller type belt, but the big gold belt is what we associate with WCW. But it was once called the International World Heavyweight Championship. And he's and made more pay-per-view appearances than any other. Against Hogan, Borden, or otherwise known as Sting, headlined WCW's highest grossing pay-per-view event, Starrcade, in 1997. Upon WWF's acquisition of WCW, Sting and Flair were chosen to main event the final episode of Monday Nitro. Now, he didn't join the promotion at that point in time because he was afraid of what they was going to do with his image and likeness. Now, he won the WWA World Heavyweight Championship when he was on tour with World Wrestling All-Stars. And right after that, he joined TNA, where you saw the Joker Sting, and you saw him face Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. Man, come on, the list goes on and on and on and on. And this is around the time that TNA was, I won't say direct competition, but it was slowly but surely becoming competition for the WWF at that point in time. Had they stayed in their reigns and took their time, TNA will be what AEW is, I feel like. But you had Kurt Angle, you had Booker T, you had Scott Steiner, you had Kevin Nash, you had Sting, like as the guy that was in the main event mafia. So many classic matches. He is also in the TNA Hall of Fame. And as a result of being a TNA World Heavyweight Champion 4 times, he became the only wrestler to have won the NWA, the WCW, and the TNA World titles. So not only this man is the TNA Hall of Fame, he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, you know, when he showed up in the WWE, I was geeked. I'm not even going to hold you. I was geeked. And when he showed up on Survivor Series, I'm very vocal on the fact that I did not like the way he was treated at WrestleMania. And I, you know, understood why Triple H went over, because they were trying to push a Triple H, The Rock match at the next year's WrestleMania, but it didn't happen, obviously. And then he had an unfortunate injury up against Seth Rollins for, you know, the WWE Championship. Not the fault of Seth Rollins, it was just, you know, accidents happen in pro wrestling, and it just was unfortunate that Sting got injured. And at his Hall of Fame speech, he retired at that point in time. Now you fast forward and you get AEW, you get All Elite Wrestling, and Sting makes his debut and his first match at AEW Revolution, which is poetic because this is where he ended his career here, and he teamed with Darby Allin, giving Darby Allin the push and the rub from an icon. And this man went undefeated his entire stint with AEW. He is 30-0. I know they said on the pay-per-view 29-0, but that 30th was when he tagged with the Great Muta at NOAH, Japan Pro Wrestling. So that's that 30th win. So he went 30-0. He started out on top in AEW, and he ended on top in AEW. And honestly, this couldn't happen to a better man. Now, let me inform you. Let me educate you on how well liked this man is. Michael Cole on Monday Night Raw and Pat McAfee acknowledged the fact that Sting retired the night before, to the point where Pat McAfee even was watching the match. He's like, a phenomenal match by Sting. So WWE even recognized this, man. You know how great you have to be to blend the barriers of competition and say, we got to recognize this man, Sting. And I have never seen a professional wrestler retire on top like that without a single loss. Because typically speaking, when you have a very last match as a pro wrestler, you lose that match. You technically put the other person over. And honestly and truly, I was looking for the Young Bucks to go over. I'll be a whole hundred with you. But according to rumors and reports, that's how they wanted Sting to go over. They wanted him to end on top. The Bucks were willing to take that L because they're like, we can come back to it. You know, our personas, we can always be great. But you need this dub. You don't necessarily need it. You deserve this dub. You deserve to end it on a high note. And that's okay. And just like Mark Scott said in the comments earlier, great wrestler, even greater man. That is a testament to who he is as a man, as a professional wrestler. I never had the opportunity to see Sting face to face as far as, like, you know, autograph signings and stuff like that. You know, I met Road Warrior Animal. You know, I met Chris Statlander, Orange Cassidy, Britt Baker. I met all these professional wrestlers one-on-one. Mick Foley, Magnum TA, Ric Flair, Bret Hart. Have yet to meet Sting, but it's coming. And I will never forget my older brother. He took me to Starrcade 93 in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that's where Sting and Hawk were going up against the Nasty Boys. He was in a tag team match. And obviously, Ric Flair was in the main event against Vader. And it was a career match. If Ric Flair was going to lose, his career is over. But I came to see Sting. That's what I came for. That's why I came. I went to see Sting. And I was over the moon. I got to see the surfer Sting. And twice, two more times, I went to an AEW show and I got to see Sting in his black and white. And that was honestly one of the best moments of my life as a professional wrestling fan, is when I saw Sting for the first time in person at Starrcade, which is the flagship show for WCW. It is WCW's WrestleMania, if you will. And there's a few key matches that I do remember, though. A lot of people go through him and Ric Flair. I think about him and Great Muta. I think about him and Vader. I think about him and Stunning Steve Austin for United States Championship. I was thinking about Sting Squadron versus the Dangerous Alliance. Now, I think that's one of the first matches that Meltzer gave a 5-star rating to. And I know ratings are like, you know, fan base and stuff like that. But, you know, that is really one of my favorite War Games matches. It's Sting Squadron versus the Dangerous Alliance. You're talking Stunning Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Paul E. Dangerously at the time, which now know is Paul Heyman. Phenomenal stuff. And, you know, his feuds with Great Muta, man, that's really some of my favorite matches, was him and Great Muta. Because as a kid, I always correlate Great Muta with blood. You know, I was shooting the miss, and he's the guy that typically sort of kind of gets the best of Sting and brings the best out of Sting, because everybody has a perfect dancing party. And, you know, Ric Flair has Ricky Steamboat. I feel like his perfect dance partner was Great Muta, because Great Muta was so quick and agile and everything else in between. And anybody, you know, Sting was in the ring with, it led to some very entertaining stuff. And he was never doing moves for the sake of moves. Everything meant something. There was transition, there was change and stuff like that. And in recent memory, I wouldn't say recent memory, but Monday Nitro, him versus DDP. Man, if you have not seen Sting versus DDP on a Monday Nitro, you need to go watch Sting versus DDP on Monday Nitro. I mean, we talking tearing the house down type stuff. Like, DDP is also a perfect dancing partner. Like, look what he did with Goldberg. But still, yeah. So you look at Sting and his body of work on what he's done and who he has faced and all the championships that he's won. And you considering who pulled up for this man, Magnum TA, Scotty Riggs, DDP, Lex Luger, and his sons are like a spitting image of him. Which was crazy, because when the Surfers thing came out, I was over the moon. We talking screaming, bro. I was like running around the house because I legitimately thought that was Sting. But it turned out to be his son, which that was just, you know, scary. Scary accurate how they look. Both of his boys. So you get the Surfer Sting, you get the Red and Black Sting, and then you get the AEW Sting. And you know, AEW do have its flaws, but one person, I mean, if you can say one person that they treated completely, you know, to a level of awesomeness, it has to be Sting. Like, they treated that veteran like he was somebody. There was no useless matches. Any matches he was in, he was popping the crowd. Mark Scott says, one of the best things about Sting was that he never took a night off in terms of performance. Sting versus DDP, Sting versus Scott Steiner were some pay-per-view quality matches. Indeed it was. Never took a night off. Mr. 24/7. That's what he is, man. He is definitely the franchise. Like, go back to Monday Nitro when you had the Monday Night Wars. You had WWF was winning at this point in time. So they had this pivot. They had to switch. They had to do something. Enter the NWO and Hulk Hogan and Hall and Nash, and Hogan pivoting to be a heel, which is like unprecedented. You never would thought in a million years Hulk Hogan was to be a heel type wrestler, cheating and everything else in between. Sting cussed his final promo before he disappears, and he says, one of the last things he says is, "You can stick it." Puts the mic down, gone. The blonde hair is gone, brown hair, and he dons the crow type persona, not saying a word for a whole year, for months on end, pointing at Hogan. One of the best moments of Black and White Sting is when he came into the ring and he had the bat, and he literally pushed the bat out and dropped it on the ground. And listen, I don't need a bat. I'ma whoop all of y'all asses with my bare hands. And Sting whooped all their asses with his bare hands. Another defining moment is when he saved DDP. He literally strapped DDP to the rope, and they went up into the rafters. Like, as a kid looking at this, you wouldn't think this is dangerous, right? And that's how they went off air. Like, you just sitting there staring at the screen like, yo, what the hell did I just see? And now you can't sleep at night because you're so hyped about what you saw on Monday Nitro. This is like way before like TiVo and you could record stuff. Like, if you was not in front of the TV on a Monday night at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. or if it's special start time, 7 p.m. or whatever the case may be, you missed out. Because if you miss a match, you missed a match. Unless you got a VCR tape and you record the TV. Now, that's back in the day. You know, ask your parents, for the young cats, ask your parents what we used to do as far as recording shows and stuff like that. But let me tell you, ever since Sting showed up and pointed the bat at Hogan, every single Monday night, you look for Sting. You look for him to show up at the end of the show to close the show. This man was invincible. You could not touch this man. And for 83 weeks straight, that war with Hogan, the NWO, and Sting, that was number one on TV. Sting was waving that WCW flag. He was that guy. He was the Hulk Hogan. He was the Undertaker. He was that guy for WCW. And, you know, obviously they had to pivot. You know, once Starrcade happened, you know, it was some backstage stuff with Hogan, you know, didn't want to take the fall and you know, stuff like that. So, you know, still gonna blame him for that. But, you know, with his career, look at all the drama that happened around this man in WCW, because WCW was in debt before Monday Nitro, like hard debt, losing money. But every single week, every month, Sting showed up and he showed out, and people were selling out arenas to see Sting and Luger, or Sting and Flair, or Sting and Muda, or Sting and Cactus Jack. People was tuning in. And Ric Flair, at one point, before Sting won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, there was a point in time where he joined the Four Horsemen, and the Four Horsemen was faces at that point in time. Hard to believe. But Ric Flair was on record to say he refused to drop the title to Lex Luger because Sting had a legitimate injury. So Ric Flair said, listen, I'm going to hold this title until Sting gets 100%, because I'm going to drop it to him. I promise to drop it to him. He's going to be the guy I drop it to. That says a lot about this man. Like, back in the day, we talking like a young Sting, up and coming. That's why Sting always credits Ric Flair for, you know, the emergence of his career. Like, he credits Ric Flair the start of his career. Like, if you haven't seen The Great American Bash in 1990, you got to go see The Great American Bash. Like, really good stuff. If you really want to know the inner workings of a professional wrestling match, like, not doing moves for the sake of moves, like, catering to the crowd, because if you got the crowd in the palm of your hands, like, to the level of Ric Flair or Sting does, you don't have to do a whole lot. Don't have to do a whole lot. Your presence, your persona says it all. And Sting is a testament to that. So then you fast forward to the Red and Black Sting. You see him joining the NWO Wolfpack. Now, granted, you know, I did like that Sting because he's back talking again. You know, he's cutting promos again. And he's like on a cool factor type of deal. Like, for me as a fan of Sting, he could do no wrong. He could do no wrong. I don't think at any point in his career that he was a heel. And if he was, it was very, very short-lived. You know, the Main Event Mafia, you might say that. But he still had his own set of morals. Like, everybody else had their own thing going on. But Sting was like, not my bag. That's not... Y'all, we still together, but that's not my bag. And, you know, you fast forward to when Vince Russo took over at WCW, and that when Eric Bischoff wasn't there, and then he showed up. You know, he had feuds with DDP, he had feuds with Vampiro. Always thought Vampiro was like a younger version of him. But him and Bret Hart, that's another person. Like, I always fantasy booked Bret Hart and Sting, the Scorpion Deathlock versus the Sharpshooter. Which one is better? And we saw some of those matches. I mean, they had some brawls in the back. They had all kinds of stuff going on. I would definitely say him and Bret Hart definitely was a dream come true to see them two in the ring together. I mean, he wrestled against Dean Malenko. Sting wrestled Dean Malenko. And with TNA, what he did in TNA, putting over younger talent, that's what he did. Like, him and Samoa Joe, him and AJ Styles, you know, just to name those two, right? He was on Christopher Daniels. These wars that he's been in, Ken Anderson, another one, Mr. Kennedy, putting over young talent. And I don't think it was any a point in time where he refused to lose to a person, because his stature, his demeanor, his whole overall presence was, you couldn't touch it. It was invincible. You couldn't touch it. Like, you know, looking at documentaries of Sting and the two DVD sets that I have three disc DVD sets of Sting matches, and I made it my business to get those. But with TNA, with the Joker Sting and his feuds and stuff like that, TNA was still dealing with their turmoil. They still had this stuff going on, financial stuff, but Sting still stayed the course. And the worry that he had by going over to WWE and, like, how he was going to be treated, he stayed away from WWE for quite some time. He stayed away from WWE for some years. And then finally in 2014, he made his debut and all the pomp and circumstance was behind him, I'm like, oh my God, they actually treated him well. So the thing that kind of ticked me off with that whole run at WrestleMania is that, you know, I wouldn't say it was burying Sting, but it, you know, the commentator was like, you know, this is what it's like to be in the big time Sting. This is what it's like to be in front of thousands of people. And I was like, Sting done that already. He been to a Japan super show before. He been around thousands of people before. Like, you know, he was, and the fact that he was the last surviving member of WCW and everything else. I was like, I mean, that just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, do y'all know how iconic this man is? How well liked this man is? And for his career to, shortly end, after WWE, I didn't want it to end that way. I don't think anyone wanted to end that way. No one did. And the fact that he was in AEW, you fast forward and him and Ricky Starks and him and Scorpio Sky and, you know, him and Orange Cassidy, he was having the time of his life. It's almost like he had a resurgence in his career where he just felt like, you know, new life would just breathe into him. And this was only fitting for Sting to retire the way he did. Like, when I saw him get that dub, I was like, yo, I was shocked. Again, I was looking for the Young Bucks to take that dub, but the higher ups in the back, rumor has it that, nah, we want you to win. We want you to come out on top. We want you to get your farewell speech in. Now, some people was upset at Bleacher Report, because Bleacher Report was notorious. Like, listen, if you go over a certain time, Bleacher Report going to cut it off. That is what it is. And I thought about Halloween Havoc with DDP and Goldberg, how it cut it off. But what some people need to understand, though, is that when you pay for extra minutes on TV, it's different than paying for extra time on a pay-per-view, because way more expensive and at the last minute, too. So someone did record it. AEW did release, you know, the post show footage, because they understood that Bleacher Report, you know, ended the show at exactly midnight. So we sitting there wondering, what did he say? So the entire locker room came out, you know, congratulated Sting on his retirement. And a lot of people have been asking, what are you going to do now, Sting? Like, are you going to be in the back? He said he never really had an interest in being like in a managerial role. So he said he really truly doesn't know what he has to offer AEW at this point in time, because he's limited on what he wants to do. I mean, I can't blame him for that. I mean, he gave him 30 matches. He gave AEW 30 matches, and he can ride off into the sunset. And a lot of people speculate, hey man, can your sons wrestle? Because they look just like you. Like, how about continue the legacy? But you know, his sons have to want to do that. Will he stay with AEW? I don't know. I mean, he's right. What can he do at that point? If he really don't want to manage your role, or, you know, be a trainer or anything of that nature, or agent, you know, an agent of what he said, I mean, you know, just let him rest. Let him come in every now and again, do a special announcement, host a show, or host an All In or something like that. You know, that's cool. But as far as in ring goes, he's done. Like, one thing he's always said, that when I retire, I want to retire. I don't want to be one of those guys that retire and then, you know, every couple of years I pop up and like, hey, I'm in a match. Like, no, when I want to retire, that's what I want to do. I want to retire. But there's different versions of Sting. And as much as an impact that Black and White Crow Sting has had on the wrestling industry as far as the Monday Night Wars goes, I will forever consistently be a fan of the Surfer Sting. Like, the whole outfits, the neon colors and the different color scorpions or whatever, I was with that 110%. 110%. And some of his matches in AJPW, which is All Japan Pro Wrestling, man, some hard-hitting stuff. Because we know, like, a true professional wrestling fan that follow things outside of AEW and outside of WWE or TNA, you go to Japan, that's a whole different beast over there. Whole different deal. Like, there's a footage of Hogan doing scientific type matches over there, like way different, night and day differences than what he does in WWF. And then what Sting does over there, because Japanese, they bring a lot out of you. They bring a lot out of you. And there's clips and everything, but if you do not have a Sting DVD set, you can find it on Amazon. There's 2-3 disc sets of Sting's matches from Japan to WCW to to WWE. Some of his best work. And last night, I was on Peacock, and I was watching WCW Saturday Night. I was watching that until I went to sleep, and you know, it brought back so many memories of WCW Saturday Night, man, where the big boys play. Like, it was like, listen, this is where you see real wrestling matches. This is where, you know, you don't see no cartoony type characters. Like, you get in the ring, you fight, and you do what you gotta do. But Jesse the Body Ventura on commentary, and Tony Schiavone, Jim Ross, and the boys, man, that brought back so many memories, and Sting is at the forefront of those memories. Surfer Sting, all those accolades. It's nothing I can say that would be enough to speak on Sting's career. And when he retired, I thought I was going to shed a tear. I thought, you know, tears is going to come down my face and stuff like that, but it didn't. It didn't, because I'm like, it doesn't really, you know, when I say don't deserve tears, it's just that I'm just so happy for him to get something he rightfully, unequivocally deserved. And he deserved all the happiness post-retirement too. I mean, this man is taking care of his body. He is 64 years old. 64. You just retired on Sunday. You got thrown through glass, real glass, and popped back up. You went through a table, popped back up, took two super kicks to the face. Now, the funny thing is, now, let me sidebar here. Now, when Ric Flair got kicked, Ric Flair got super kicked in the face, I was like, come on, man. And the way he was laying out in that corner, hilarious. Hilarious stuff. But everything that Sting wanted in his final match, he got. He wanted the Young Bucks as his opponents because he loved the Young Bucks and what they're able to do, because he knew he was going to be taken care of, him and Darby Allin both. I mean, you can't express enough how much respect this man has garnered. Like, he went out on his own terms, handpicked his opponents, handpicked the type of match he wanted. The executives returned the favor and say, yo, you're going to win this match. Like, you can just vacate it after the fact, but you winning this match. You were going to retire undefeated like you were supposed to. Like, you're going to get treated the way you should be treated. And they did that to the point where other wrestling companies recognize this man's retirement. TNA, here's some of Sting's best matches. TNA don't miss, all right? Anytime there's something big wrestling-wise goes, TNA always there on Twitter, and they always chime in and say, hey, speaking of this, go watch this. Some of Sting's best matches. So you got Sting's best matches, you got AEW stuff, and you know, some of the footage was for Japan, steel shots from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, you know, and everything else in between. And then, you know, on top of all that, cherry on top is WWE actually acknowledging the fact that Sting has retired and congratulated Sting on his retirement as one of the best world champions that were out there. That is the reason why he is my all-time favorite wrestler. He is always and will be my number one favorite wrestler. That's why this man is on the front of the camera right here. Can't believe I found that WCW comic book with Sting on the front. Can't believe it. But check it. That is our show for today. Please do not forget to comment on the under the description below. Do not forget to subscribe to the channel. Do not forget to hit that like button. And we will be back on Thursday afternoon for some geekdom goodness with myself and Boogie Blends, as we talk all thing nerds, because Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth is out, y'all. Hope you guys are playing it. I haven't gotten it yet. I'm just getting into some Helldivers too, but that's neither here nor there. Once again, congratulations to you, Sting, on your retirement. It's well deserved. We all love you as pro wrestling fans. And that's it. Until next time, y'all. Peace.